Good morning. Oops. Don't want to get Brother Lindell upset. Well, this mic has seen better days, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Open your Bibles to Joshua. Good to be here again. We always look forward to coming to the mission conference. Me and Matt talk about it before we want to come, and this time we drove up together. That was a real interesting drive. All of us in his van, and it was funny because our first stop was going to be my mom's house in the valley. So they're all happy, you know, they're going to go to Abuela's house. That's what they call her, and. We left at 5 a.m. on a Friday. At 5 a.m, we take off. We're on the road like 2 minutes. And Cosette says, are we there yet? I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a long drive. Joshua chapter 3. We had a good stay with my mom. She'll be 88 this year. My mom's been saved for, like 14 years. She's been saved and she loves the Lord.
Amen.
She serves God.
Amen.
It really is amazing. It really is amazing. She, you know, she'll go to, Wednesday night meetings. Small group. Wednesday night meetings at her church. But she'll go Wednesdays. And she'll prepare her little potluck dish. Cause at her church they have like a little dinner before. So they get there around 6 o'clock and so she prepares something to take over there. And then they have a prayer meeting and then they have a little, you know, they get into the word a little bit. And she looks forward to that. And then they have a club there. It's called Knitting Together. It's just a fellowship, bunch of old ladies, and they gather and they knit, and I guess they just have a good old time. And then she goes on Sundays, and it doesn't matter. My mom has a granddaughter who lives in Corpus, and sometimes they'll go visit her on the weekend. And she tells my younger sister, takes her over there for the weekend and visits there because she has a great granddaughter there. And she'll say, okay, we'll go, but we got to get up early Sunday morning because I got to be at my church.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I would say, why don't you stay there in Corpus, Mom? Walk on the beach. No, she has to be in her church.
Yep. Yeah. Amen.
Faithfulness.
Amen.
Lord willing, on Sunday, a week from today, I'll bring her here.
Amen.
She hasn't been here in a while, in a long time, but she's going to be 88. So I'm not going to have her for too much longer. Man, I'm such a baby in my old age, thinking about my mom. Joshua chapter 3, let's get into it. Maybe I can compose myself. But Lord willing, next Sunday, you'll see my mom here, and don't let her size deceive you. She's even shrunk, I think, over the years, but I'm still scared of her.
Amen.
It says here, in chapter 3, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim,
and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, that we get to gather in your place, Lord. This is a place where we can come and just for just a little bit, Lord, we want to just try to forget the things that are waiting for us outside. We want to come meet with you. We want to come and worship you. We want to come and truly seek you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for a place like this, Lord.
Amen.
And there's many places, Lord, that are gathering today, this morning, worshiping you and seeking your face. And it's not a problem for you to be in all places at all times. And we thank you for that. We thank you. You're not just visiting us and having to run off like lots of times we do. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for being in the midst of us, Lord. I just pray this morning, Lord, that you use the messages, Lord, that we already heard, that you use these messages this week, Lord, to speak to our hearts once again. Father, just thank you for your love and for dying on the cross for us. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your patience with us, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for second opportunities.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord. As we're going to see in this story, these people have been here before. And they didn't want to take advantage of what you had for them. And Father, just as your character is, you have and you've given us second opportunities. And Lord, we just pray that through this story we can see some things and apply them to our lives, Lord, and live them out. Lord, I just want to thank you for my church, for this place. I thank you, Lord, for my pastors. I thank you, Lord, for my church family.
Amen.
Father, I just pray that you just continue to use us in these latter days, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The phrase I want to pick up on, and the thing that stuck out to me, you know, I've been going through the book of Joshua, the Kings lately, and just seeing some things. I appreciated Stephen's message yesterday, and reminded me that old woman he was talking about, and it's something I didn't think about. You know, when Stephen said you said something like, you know, no one told her that she was going to be used, you know. I hadn't thought about that, you know. Like, no one told her. She's picking up some sticks, and she said, what? Man, that was good. I like that. I appreciate that, Stephen, and appreciate your work here, too. I think you're growing a lot. Been listening to the messages around here. But This story is very interesting, and the phrase that I want to pick up on is, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, and I just want to ask you this morning, have you considered what God has in store for you tomorrow? Right? We're talking about something in the future. Right? But in order for you to get to that point, in order for you, for the Lord to use us or come to that point where God is going to, allow us to be part of something much greater than we can even imagine, we have to understand that we have a responsibility, to prepare ourselves, you know, but this thing about what about tomorrow? You know, tomorrow, you know, have you thought about tomorrow when you go to work? Have you thought about tomorrow, you know, when some of you go, you know, visit some friends or family or school's going to be starting soon, you know, again, or maybe you're in summer school, you know, tomorrow has so many, things that we need to expect God to move and God to use us for tomorrow. You know, what does the Lord want from us? What does he want to do with you tomorrow? You know, and this thought has been in my head, this thought, you know, thinking about it. And if you think about the story, it really is an amazing thing, because they're coming to another opportunity where they're just about to cross. And if you've read the story, we know the story, they do get in this time, right? But there was a time, if you go back over there in Numbers chapter 13, when Moses said, hey, God has given us this land. I mean, it's just flowing, right? Milk and honey, and it's an amazing place. And even though there's going to be obstacles, even though there's going to be problems, even though there's going to be, you know, it's going to be, you know, some hardships, God is going to fight for us. God has given us this place. And he went so far as to send out spies, right? Send out men into this land so they can look it over. And we see, you know, we got a guy from Judah, from the tribe of Judah, and we got a guy from the tribe of Ephraim, right? Caleb and Joshua. They're part of the 12 that went in to spy out this land, and they come back. And of course, they're optimistic. They're not deceiving themselves. They say, yeah, you know what? Everything these other 10 guys are saying is true. They are big. You know, we're going to have some problems. That's not a problem. God promised us this place. Let's just go in and take it.
Amen.
And when you go over there and you look at Numbers, 13, and Numbers 14, and you see the children murmuring, you see the people murmuring and complaining about, oh, you know, we can't take it, we're gonna stay out, and God gets a little upset. Right? So much so that when you read it, he says, I'm just gonna destroy all of them. And Moses, man, what a wise guy. Right? He says, look, God, I don't know if you consider this, said, but if you destroy everybody, then they're going to say, the people out there are going to say that you couldn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish with these people. And he went ahead and, if you can use the word, repented of what he was going to do, right? But he did say, these people, this generation, they're not going to go in. 40 days they spied the land, and God said, for each day that you were there spying out the land, it's going to be a year. So 40 years they were in the wilderness until that generation passed. The irony there is that God said, your children who you were so scared of, your children that you were scared they're going to be given over into slavery, I'm going to let them enjoy this land. You know, for tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. They're at this point of time again where it's time for them to go in. It's time for them to see the wonders of God. And they're at this point at the brink of the Jordan River, getting ready to cross over. You know, and as I thought about this, I thought about a few things among you, wonders among you. And I thought about, there's some things that we have to do. There's some things that we have to keep straight in our mind. And if like them, if they were going to accomplish and they were going to see the wonders of God, you know what? I think Bill said 47 years they've been doing this, a long time. You know, when I went down there 29 years ago, going on 30 years ago, went down there, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. None. You know, I mean, it's just right now, you know, we can look back, and every year I'm thinking, okay, I think Deb, asked me, how many street preachers, how many this? And every time now, you know, hopefully it'll change in the future. But now when I think about all the works, I can't, there always comes up the problems that we have. You know, and they're ridiculous problems. They're hurtful problems. But you know, I just came from a men's meeting there in Leon, and there's still a bunch of guys still preaching God's word.
Amen.
There's still people wanting to serve God. Sure, man, we got problems, just like we got problems here, right? There's problems everywhere. You know, what the problem with our church is? We're a bunch of sinners, right? That's the problem. If we weren't sinners, we wouldn't have any problems, right? But thank God that His work is continuing. There's street preachers on the street. There's a place where the Word of God is being preached, where the Word of God is being taught. And I'm thankful for the Lord for that. But you know what? As we go into this, as we try to understand the great things God has for us, we need to understand as we go into tomorrow, an area unknown, we have to have a mentality to go after it. Right? If you aren't going to prepare yourself, if you're not going to look, any one of us, I think, if we're preparing, if we're thinking about taking a trip to wherever, right? You can't wait till the last minute, right? I mean, lots of us do sometimes, right? Wait till the last minute. And then what happens? We end up where we need to be, or we're thinking about going. We end up getting there and then we forget things, right? Oh man, I forgot that. Or why didn't I bring this? And you know, and sometimes when you're traveling into another country, you don't want to forget very important things, like maybe your passport, yeah. Right? I mean, from going from here to there, it's probably not a big deal, but coming from there back here, it might be a problem, especially if you're brown, especially if you live in Mexico where I'm at. Saying, oh, wait a minute, you can't come in here. But so we have to be prepared. We have to go after. We have to have that type of mentality. Look what it says there in verse 1. And I think this is what when Joshua came, in verse 1 it says, and Joshua rose early in the morning. To me, that sounds like he was expecting something, right? You rise up early in the morning when you expect something. You know, like, it could be something like, I don't know, if you're gonna go, if you're gonna take a group of youth to Fiesta, Texas. You know, I guarantee you, if you take the youth from here to Fiesta, Texas, they're gonna be up early that morning, way before it's time to meet up here at the church parking lot or whatever to go to Fiesta, Texas. Why? The anticipation. They wanna have fun. And it's anything that we look forward to seeing, right? Well, the same thing here. I think Joshua, he knew he's been waiting 40 years. When we read the story of Caleb, right? Caleb, man, he was hungry for this place, right? I mean, he was old by this time and he had another spirit in him. He felt like he was as young as he was when he started this thing. He was ready to go in and get this promise, get this land that God had given him. So we see here, you know, the foresight, if you want to call that, he rose up early in the morning because he expected great things. And there's also, I don't think he went in it, you know, thinking it was going to be a breeze, right? The Jordan, it says there that the Jordan was overwhelmed with water. It was the borders. I mean, it was flowing. We're not talking about a little creek. Right? Like over there, Brando, where was that? Castroville, wherever we went to yesterday, I think the Medina River passes through there, some river. It's just dry. It's a bunch of rocks, right? They didn't come up to that. They didn't come up to a place where it was just a few little, you know, dots of water. It was flowing. It was during the time, I guess, rainy season or whatever. There was a lot of water. It was dangerous. It's like when you see the Rio Grande. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've ever been up close to Rio Grande. I'm from the valley. I'm from down there, just a rock throw away from the valley. I mean, from the Rio Grande. But there's spots you go and you look at it and you're like, wow, that doesn't look too dangerous,
you know? But the currents in there are horrible. So many people die. They came up to this place and they were going to step out on faith, right? They're going to cross over. God told them, you take these men, you take the ark, you're going to walk and they're going to place their feet, in the water there, and it's just going to divide. You know, the Bible says that when they crossed and everyone crossed, right? Chapter 4 says everyone got across, but they crossed on dry land. Right? Where we see that again, right? The Red Sea. They crossed on dry land. To me, it's like, why did God even put that in there, right? I mean, I would have never guessed, but I like that he put it in there because to me, it's like, that's just impossible. It's an impossible thing, right? There shouldn't be nothing dry underneath the water.
Right.
It should be wet and sopping wet.
Yeah.
But God said, no, they're not going to be, you know, wading through mud to get across. If I'm going to open a door, it's going to be open, right? Lots of times we think God has opened up a door for us and we're knocking it down, right? We're trying to force our way in instead of looking for an open door that's actually opened, right? Well, this is God. God allowed them to get up to this river and they were going to cross because God told them, you're going to go in. You know, when I think about what God has given us as this opportunity, we get to be a part of evangelizing Mexico, evangelizing Poland. What an amazing thing that you and I are a part of reaching people in other countries.
Amen.
I truly believe God has given us this. You know, and you know, if you listen to the story, you know, a long time ago when Brother Little had to come back from the mission field, and he just started meeting in the room at his house, right? Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed? I mean, you know, really, the tomorrow, the wonders of tomorrow happened so many years ago when he came back. Meeting together and just doing what he thought he should do, right? We're going to worship God. We're going to serve God. We're going to try to start something here. We're going to gather people here. And look how much God has done. If you haven't gone to the mission field to see what we do down there, you're invited to come, right? You're invited to go to Poland. You're invited to go, you know, even on your alone time. You don't have to go with a group. Right, sometimes that can be more wearisome, traveling together in a huge group. But you go down there and you see what we do, and I think you're gonna experience something that you can't even imagine. Right, not because we are, you know, we gather tens of thousands, because we don't. You know what? We've been there in starting the North work for 2 years and we haven't seen anybody. We've had two guys come and they're not there no more, right? For whatever reason. So it's just me and Matt and his tribe, right? And, you know, like Karen was saying, some people come from the South side and they visit us from time to time, but that can get discouraging. But you know what? You know what keeps, or at least me, the hope I have? This verse. It says, for tomorrow.
Amen.
For tomorrow. Right? The Lord will do wonders among you.
Amen.
I want to be there tomorrow. This is why I still want to go back.
Yeah.
Right? This is why Eddie goes out to those ranchos, right? Tomorrow, God might do something big, right? I'm not going to stay home because tomorrow God might do a big thing in my life.
That's right.
You know, I think we see here also how he responded,
Right? Not only did he have this attitude of I'm going to go after it. I'm going to go. God had called us to cross over the Jordan. But look at his response. Look what he did here. He says here in the second part of verse 1, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. You know, lots of times we have that struggle to stay where we feel it's safe.
Yeah, amen.
Right? Why stretch ourselves? You know, why am I going to do something where I might or allow myself to be in something where I'm not going to know the outcome, right? And I think we're all that way, right? I mean, don't you think ahead sometimes? We do that in our life. I don't know if you talk to, you know, your kids, you know, about, hey, what are you going to do, after you graduate high school? Oh, I'm going to enjoy my last year. Yeah. I know this is your last year, but it's going to be done pretty quick. Yeah, well, I think I'm just going to hang out here for a little while. Well, hang on. You know, my job is going to be done, you know, after high school. You think about a job. You want to go get a trade, you know, trade something, right? You can't just be eating in my house forever, right? But so, you know, and I mean, we sometimes don't think that way. We sometimes don't, but this is what we have to do, right? Joshua knew that. He said, you know what? We're fine on this side. We're alive on this side. You know, God's been feeding us on this side. We have light. We have shade. We have water. We have everything that we actually need. You know, I mean, yeah, those grapes were pretty big. You know, yeah, you know, honey is okay. But we're fine on this side. But you know what? God said, I want you to go across. I got something much better for you on that side.
Amen.
They picked up their stuff and they went to the other side. Now, they responded in faith. And this is exactly what you and I do, right? We respond in faith. I mean, when you give to evangelism, it's by faith, right? When you give to your pastors, it's faith. When you go on mission trips and you save, you know, all your money to go and just waste it on a mission trip, it's by faith, right? God allows us to do this and we're just going to walk out and we're going to trust God that he's going to show us wonders,
yeah.
Right?
Amen.
In all this. Man, if I could just, if there's lives have been changed because of sacrifices of this place.
Yeah.
One of our deacons there, in Puebla. He's been there. When Stephen was down there working with us, Ricardo, and he just had his fourth kid, and this kid's been in the NICU for like 2 months, right? Finally got out, finally is at home, and so we thank God for that. But his life totally changed. Right, he comes from a very dysfunctional family. I think his younger brother right now is in a rehab place. Right, his other brother, which is right under him, serious problems. And then him. God saved him. God changed his life. God has given him a whole new outlook. And I mean, you know, you can say, and I can say that, yeah, if it wasn't me who spoke to him that day, it would have been somebody else. Well, yeah, that's probably true, right? Because if God wants to do something, he's going to do it, right? But you know what? God wanted to do it through us and give him the word, and he got saved. We can't keep putting things off. We can't keep saying that responsibility is for somebody else. Because if God wants to do it, he's going to do it. No, that's a cop out.
Yeah.
Joshua came up there. He was excited about going in. He says, you know what? I'm going to pick up my stuff. I'm going to remove all my stuff. I'm going to yank up all my anchors, and we're going to go to the other side. I mean, why do we keep having conferences? Why do we keep having men's meetings? Why do we keep having women's meetings? Why do we keep having, you know, the things that we do? Why do we take mission trips? And the reason is simple. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders. Right? I mean, how many times have you left a men's meeting revived?
Amen.
And sometimes your life has been changed. You've figured out something. Something was taught in that men's meeting. Something was shared in that men's meeting. Something in that retreat or whatever you want to call it. And it finally clicked in your head and you said, I'm going to change this in my life. And your life is much better for it.
Yeah.
Man, the reason why I do it is because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. You know, if we stay in a state of complacency, if we stay in our comfort zone, if we stay in an area in life where we're callous, where we don't care for the things of God anymore, we're not going to see these wonders that he's talking about. Sure, it's going to be hardship. Sure, it's going to be some problems. But you know what? Staying where you're at, in that safe, where you think it's a safe zone, is not wise.
Right.
I think we need to reach out.
Amen.
Right? And I'm not talking about you, you know, surrendering to the mission field. I'm just talking about you getting excited about what God's doing.
Amen.
And then do something.
Amen.
We also see here in verse 1, it says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. You know, they lodged there before they passed over. You know, tomorrow the Lord's going to do wondrous things. He'll do wonders among us, but it's good to lodge. I'm glad this part is in here. They came up here and God told them, sit down, relax. Look at the work that you'll be able to do right now. And they're seeing this Jordan River and they're understanding, okay, wait a minute. You know, the ark is going to go before us. You know, somehow we're going to get across. Not sure exactly how that's going to happen, but we're going to get across. And then Jericho. That's a crazy story. Huh? How about that? You know, you already crossed the Jordan River, right? On dry land, you get there, right? And they send spies out. Rahab. They go to Rahab's house. She's in our Lord and Savior's genealogy. That is amazing to me. I mean, talk about people that shouldn't be on the list.
Yep.
Right? You and I shouldn't be on that list.
Amen.
But we're on that list, you know? Aren't you glad that God doesn't think like you and I?
Amen.
Man, I have to rebuke myself so many times when I'm out witnessing, knocking on doors or doing something for the Lord, because I look at somebody and because they're homeless, or they at least look homeless, and they look a little scary, my flesh, I'm tempted just to say, well, I'm gonna go to the next person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And then I have to stop myself right there and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That could be you.
Amen.
No, you need to go talk to them.
Yeah.
You might smell a little bit. Right, you know, there in Puebla, there's a coffee shop right in the front of our place, and we rent it. We rent it on Sundays. We got in good with the owner there, I guess, because he gave us a key. And we rent it just for the bathrooms. And so, we go in there, we use the restrooms, but we started, witnessing to this guy from, I forget where he was, Peru or where, I forget where, but he, further south, and homeless guy, right? C- come in and met with us a few times. We, you know, helped him out as much as we could. And one day he showed up and he was just smelling really bad. You know? And he said, man, I wish I could take a shower. And I was like, you know what? I think I can help you out. Right? So I go over there and I talk to the worker of that coffee shop. And he says, yeah, we got a shower back here. Bring him in. You know, open doors, opportunities. You know, this guy comes back from time to time. And, you know, Lord willing, you know, he'll get saved. Lord willing, you know, his life will change. But you know what? This is what this God is giving you opportunities. And sometimes you don't want to invest in people because you say, what can they offer you? Don't you think that way?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I know I'm telling on myself and I hate it. But that's the way we think.
Right.
And you need to repent of that.
Amen.
Right? You don't deserve the gospel. I don't deserve the gospel.
Right.
Others don't deserve the gospel. But you know what? You got the gospel.
Amen.
You're in the gospel.
Amen.
And because you are in the gospel, you are here for a purpose.
Yeah.
Right? And God had a purpose. I mean, he wanted them to come in. He wanted them to go into that land. And I'm telling you, God had a purpose. The purpose wasn't to be in the comfort zone. God's purpose isn't for you just to come to a nice church with nice chairs. Right? The purpose is for you to bring glory to God.
Amen.
But lodging, having a place to lodge. Aren't you glad you have a place to meet?
Amen.
Will you have a place to hear the word of God?
Amen.
Will you have a place to focus or refocus?
Right. Amen.
This is how I look at our weeknight meetings. This is how I look at Lord's Supper meetings. This is how I look at Sunday morning meetings. A time just to refocus.
Yeah.
I turn the key off on the vehicle and I forget everything for just a little bit.
Yep.
Right? I come in here and I fellowship with the brethren.
Amen.
Right? We worship together.
Amen.
We're going to be lodging a little bit this week. And what I want to do, what we want to do is give you that vision.
Yes.
Again. Right? You're going to be looking at it from afar. God wants you to step out. God wants you to come out of that comfort zone and God wants you to get into his business.
Amen.
But you're just going to lodge there just for a little bit. Another thing, while we're continuing on this path of tomorrow, I think it's important. We got to be able to see Jesus.
Amen.
He's the focus, man. Aren't you glad? I am so glad that we don't have a stage with smoke and crazy music. Hey, listen, I have, you know, I listen to music, you know, Toby Mac and all that crazy junk when I'm driving. You know, I mean, I listen to that. I like, you know, but that's distracting. When I'm driving, I want to be distracted. It keeps me up. Right, driving 17 hours to the border. Right, I want something that keeps me awake. But in a church service, you know what I need? I need to hear what God says. Right? Yeah, we worship God. We have some good hymns. We have a good time. But the Word of God is important.
Amen.
The focus in a church should be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? It shouldn't be the building. It shouldn't be a place. It shouldn't be a person other than our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? There's a whole lot of famous preachers and a whole lot of places you go that you actually have to get an appointment to see them. But aren't you glad you don't need an appointment to worship our Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I think to visualize, to look at Christ is important. And in verse 3, it says here, it says, and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And if you do a little study on the Ark of God, it's a picture of our Lord and Savior, right? Jesus Christ. It says it's going to go before him. And we're talking, if you do the math on this, it's like 3/4 of a mile ahead. Do you find that interesting? Joshua said, wait. You sit in your place, and I want you just to look. The ark is going to go out first. Don't make a move. Keep your eyes on the ark. It gets out to a certain spot, to the brink of the river, and then they start moving. Which is important, right? Because if everyone's following right after that ark, the people in the back aren't going to be able to see it. Right? Have you ever been to events that way? My grandbabies had an end of school play at their school that we were invited to. Right? And for some reason, crazy reason, the people there put the chairs right in front, like right where they're going to be doing everything. And you couldn't see a thing. And it's crazy because now everyone's moving, there's a little chaos, people are getting in the way, you can't see anything. And they had plenty of space, why don't they just put the chairs further back? Yeah. Right? And we can all see. Well, no, they had a better idea. Well, you know what? God had a good idea. He says, you just wait. Wait, keep your eyes on the ark, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you see at the spot where they stop and you see, cause I mean, they saw all this. They saw the waters divide. They saw the passage. That's where they got the confidence.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine going somewhere not knowing how you were going to get across. That can be a little scary.
Yeah.
Right? I think about when the first group went to Mexico from this place. That was probably a scary part. I mean, I don't know. Were you scared back then, Bill? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I think I would be. I mean, I was scared. Well, I had to work with you, but that was a little scary. But being the first to go out, I mean, that's a little scary. I think it would have been. I mean, it's scary enough going right when, you know, people are already doing it. And you're going to be taught how to do it. But going trying to figure things out. And it wasn't immediate, right? You know, a few years you were down there and you figured out, well, the best way to do this is God's way, and we're just going to stand up and preach. Right? And that turned out pretty good. Right? It's amazing. God's way is the correct way. Right? Lots of times we think we have better ideas, but no. God's way is the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, as we're going down there, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ.
Right.
When you're busy and you're trying to do something here, your eyes have to be on that ark, on the captain of your salvation. Look what it says. Look what it says over there in Hebrews. Just real quick. Hebrews. Chapter 2. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We have to keep our eyes on our captain.
Amen.
He's the one that's given us salvation. And for the whole time, if they kept their eyes on him, even when they were going to go and they went around Jericho those 7 times and then they, all that, some crazy information that they had, and it worked. Why? Because they kept their eyes on God. God is the one that told them to do that. It was God's instructions that little by little they were learning. You know what? If we keep trusting God, even as crazy as it sounds, if we just keep trusting God, it's gonna work.
Amen.
out.
Amen.
You know, I mean, and that, and that'll happen in every area of your life. You know, if you are in a marriage, and you just apply the teachings of how you should love your wife from Ephesians. Right? It says there that you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. Why don't you try that?
Amen.
Right? Why don't you give up some things for your spouse? Why don't you give up some things for your family? Why don't you spend more time with them? And you'll see that your relationship, your family life is gonna get better.
Amen.
It's just amazing to me when we put in practice the things that God has given us for this life. Another thing for tomorrow, and I think this is important. If you're going to do anything for God, whatever you do for God, look what it says here in verse 5. Go back to Joshua chapter 3. We need to go after what God has called us to do. We need to keep our eyes on Him. We need to follow Him. Wherever He goes, whatever He tells us to do, follow Him. And the last thing, in verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that word there, sanctify. Sanctify yourselves. You have to make yourself holy. You need to get rid of some stuff in your life. You want to be used by God. You want Him to shower down, you know, blessings. I want this church. I mean, you know what? Man, we got a good crowd here. There's been some years where, you know, it started off slow and maybe, you know, ended strong. But today is a good crowd.
Amen.
Man, if we all decide to sanctify our lives before crossing over, before doing what God has called us to do, just think about the victories we could have. Sanctify. It says there in Hebrews 12, the second part, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. So, you know, if we want to see these wonders, if we want to continue, because I think we have. I think we've definitely seen some amazing things. If you've been here, you know, any amount of time, if you understood where we started, you know, as far as taking the gospel from San Antonio into another country, God has allowed us to be a part of something amazing.
Amen.
And I want God to continue to be involved in what we do. And I'm telling you, 2 years, we haven't seen anything. I mean, at least when Steve and I got there in Puebla, I think we had a couple people within a few months, right? Meeting with us. And then this is just a little bit slower. I find myself too also blaming COVID. Right? Oh, it's COVID. It's COVID. Isn't that funny how we try to, no, maybe it's me. You know, it quite possibly might be me. I'm not seeing what I want to see. Maybe I need to sanctify myself a little bit more.
Come on.
You know, and I'm not talking about you, you know, getting rid of your bar life, right? I'm not going to bars, right? I'm not doing crazy things like other people, you know, a long time ago in that crowd. I understand. I'm not talking about that, but Listen to me. The most spiritual person in this place tonight, today, this afternoon, see, has room to sanctify in their lives. There's some things that you need to just get rid of. I don't know what that is. Right?
Amen.
But there's got to be something.
Amen.
And Joshua's command to the people were, before you go in, before we see the wonders of God, you have to sanctify yourselves. What is it that you need to clean up from your life today?
Amen.
Don't wait till next Sunday.
Amen.
What do you need to do today?
Yeah. Amen.
Do you need to be less busy so you can maybe have a greater prayer life?
Amen.
You know, I believe when Brother Lindell tells me I'm praying for you, I believe that. You do pray for me, right, brother?
I do.
Okay. I believe that. You know, a long time ago, before Aunt Nelda got sick, and when she was able to also walk there in her neighborhood, she told me one time, I pray for all the missionaries, I pray for you on my walks every single day.
Amen.
Wow. There's people in this place that pray for us.
Amen.
Are you one of those people?
Amen.
And if not, why not?
Amen. Amen.
Because there's got to be a why. Is it's not important to you? Repent of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
You don't have time? Make some time.
Amen.
You see where I'm going? Amen. It's not like, you know, I'm saying you're in some type of deep sin. All I'm saying is our priorities might be just a little bit cockeyed.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
We need to get back to where we need
amen.
To be.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, it's only by the grace of God that we're still in this place.
Amen.
Right? It's by the grace of God that we're still down there in Mexico.
Amen.
Right? And I know there's people that pray for me. My mom prays for me. I know she prays. She tells me she prays for me. She writes me and says, I prayed for you today. But she's not going to be here very long.
Right.
Well, much more. Right? Moses was 120. 120. His eyes weren't dim. And he was still strong. I don't think I'm going to go that route. Right? I mean, I think I need to change the prescription of my glasses. But, I mean, for the most part, you and I, our life is coming to an end. It's coming, you know, I'm 55. I get discounts now at restaurants. You know, I was there in Denny's. I said, oh, look, 55. I get 55 menu. All right. Listen. We need to sanctify our lives so we can be used of God whatever time we have left.
That's true.
But I can't stress this enough. You have to do it today.
Yeah.
The young people, give your life today.
Amen.
I'm not talking about get saved. You know, if you're saved, great. You already taken care of that. But listen to me, it's different from being saved to living a sanctified life and serving the Lord.
Right.
It's two different things, two different animals, right? Well, you and I are saved. And because we're saved, we need to live a sanctified life.
Amen. Yes.
Young people, give your life over to God today.
Amen.
What are the things that are hindering you? What things do you need to change?
Amen.
To be more Christ-like.
Amen.
Let me tell you, the minute they crossed over, they saw the Lord's wonders.
Amen.
I want to see that again. I think every year someone says that when we're praying in our prayer meetings before the mission conference. Lord, do it again.
Yes.
All right. Don't we want to see that?
Yes.
Don't you want to see that?
Yes.
I want to see that. I asked the Lord there for Puebla because my granddaughters are little right now. I want them to grow up and see what God is doing.
Amen.
Right? I'm hoping it's not just us much longer. I'm hoping they'll be able to see. I want God to add families.
Yes.
I want God to add people. I want God to add More helpers, more godly people. There, we need more godly people, not only here but in Puebla. But in order for us to do that, man, this really got me. Sanctify yourselves. And it's a self-examination this morning. What is God telling you to change?
Amen?
Amen.